All right, we've started. I'm here with Aaron McGriff. It's nice to meet you, sir.
It's great to meet you as well, John.
So we were just talking before we started on how this community, we don't necessarily know people in person, but we feel like we know each other from Twitter. And you, of all people, are very well known in the Salesforce world. I saw your Trailblazer story, and so I feel like I know you, even though I've never met you. What's it like to be kind of famous?
Man, it's first of all, it's something that I would never be, and I'll tell people this is the closest I will ever to feel to being a celebrity. When it first happened and people first started finding out who I was, it was the weirdest thing in the world for me to somebody for someone to come up to me, first of all, know who I was, know my entire story, like in vivid detail. Like, I never thought anybody would know anything about me, let alone tell me that I motivated them to do anything or be inspired by me. So it definitely was weird initially. But as time went on, it really gave me purpose, and it really felt like everything that I went through to get to where I am happened for a reason. And it showed me the potential I have to help so many other people that were going through something very similar.
Absolutely. And I won't make you rehash the whole story. I'll put links to your Trailblazer story. It's pretty incredible. But you were a security guard at Target, and eventually you found yourself in consulting. You've been in consulting for a while now. How do you feel about consulting as a career and as a job?
So I've been in consulting. Actually, it'll be 3 years and about two and a half weeks, something like that. Wow, and it's weird to say that. But yeah, I feel great about consulting. When I first decided that this whole Salesforce thing is something that I wanted to do, me being new to the ecosystem back when I started, I knew I wanted to go somewhere where I would get a lot of experience in a relatively short amount of time, and that's all what consulting is about. I spent probably about a year and a half in industry, first being in education and then at a company doing manufacturing. And the things I was exposed to, the projects were far and few between. Everything was kind of slow moving, and I wasn't really learning at the pace that I wanted to. And I knew that I wanted to go somewhere where I could learn and could grow at the same time. And that's just what consulting is. My first project, I got to go to Brazil for a week after I built a whole service cloud solution for a team. And then that next week, I was working in an entire different industry, doing something different and building cool stuff there. And that's how every project has been. I've been able to touch a lot of different industries, a lot of different Salesforce projects, and then get to do and get paid to do a lot of the different things that are in Salesforce. And it's exciting. There are some times where the work isn't as fast paced or as fun as you would want it to be, but just the variety is what keeps consulting being interesting to me.
I always tell people it's kind of good for people with kind of hyperactive minds, right? Because you don't on the flip side of that, you kind of join and leave projects a lot. So you're kind of always the new kid. That's not always a new good feeling. And you're always kind of getting hired and fired, right? Because I don't know, maybe fired's not the right word, but you're always being let go in a way. So you're at Slalom Consulting, and you're actually the second person I've talked to at Slalom. I talked to one of my high school friends who is in the Columbus office. Do you have a specialty that you work on, or is it just you're open for projects and you're a certified person?
I'm pretty open for projects. I love working in service cloud. So if there is a service cloud project out there, those are the ones I tend to gravitate to, and especially anything that has to do with building things in flow. That's what I love to do most, but it's really based on the need.
One thing I always talk to people about is the community in Salesforce, and that's really important. And a couple months ago, I talked to Tiffany Spencer, and she told me about Dreamin' in Color. And I know you attended. What was it like? What was your impression of that event?
Oh, man, let's see if I can get through this without tearing up. So I've been in the Salesforce community for probably over 5 years now, and I've been to a lot of different Dreamit events, Dreamforce, of course, and a lot of different Salesforce events. And Dreamit in color just it felt different. You know, it felt there was just a totally different vibe to it. I needed Dreamit in color more than I thought I did. It's no secret that in tech and in this, well, just in this industry period, there is a lot to be done for diversity. And a lot of times walking into rooms, walking into conferences, I really didn't see a lot of people that looked like me. And that resonated with me on that level, you know, and walking into Dreamit in color and literally seeing just over 200 people that did the same things that I did, that do the same work that I do and that look like me was just, I really can't explain how that felt. You know, just the connections that were made, just listening to other people's stories and just, you know, just really being able to connect with people like that. It was an amazing experience. I absolutely cannot wait for the next one next year. But yeah, and I know a lot of us that went and tried to talk about just the experience is just, it's hard to put it to words, but right. It was an absolutely amazing experience, and I'm glad I was part of it.
That's fantastic. I knew it was, first of all, Tiffany, how amazing is she? It's just like, how does she do what she does?
I don't know how she does what she does, but I'm glad that she does.
It's beyond me. I don't know if there's like multiple Tiffany's and she's kind of scamming us or something. I don't know. But I was excited to hear about it. And I think, you know, I'm a Midwestern white guy. And I know what you mean by like people that look like me. Like, well, I go to Dreamforce. One of my jokes is like, hey, I'm the nerdy looking white guy in the blue blazer, right? Because that's like 80% of the crowd. But the only thing I could think of is like, there's I live near Chicago, and there's a black church I go to occasionally on the west side, Christ Tabernacle. And my friend plays guitar in the band. He's the token white guy. And I went there, and it's like one of the things they say is the most segregated day in America is Sunday. Mm-hmm. Because I go to my white church, and then there's black churches, and you know, and I always thought, man, that just doesn't look good. And then I went there and I saw people, black people, being relaxed and enjoying themselves and like just celebrating their culture. And I realized, oh, they're in a place where they could be themselves and share tradition and stuff that maybe I just wouldn't fully understand. And I was like, at first I thought it was a bad thing. And then I was like, there needs to be places like this. And then the preacher preached about, he gave a sermon on the Old Testament. And I thought, man, I'm learning a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And that we need to hear these voices as well. So it's kind of this like two-pronged thing where people need to have these spaces where they're comfortable to be their own, but we also need to stay in touch, right?
We definitely do. And you really hit the nail on the head there. And that was one of the big things about Dreamit in color. And Leah McGowan-Hare, it was in her opening speech that, look, this is a space where you can truly let your hair down, be yourself, you know, navigating a space where there's not that many people to look like you. You know, people, there's unconscious bias that happens. And there's people's preconceived notions of who you are and what you know just based on what you look like. Right. And that's not something that we can control at all. So, you know, it's not saying that we try to be two different people, but, you know, there's compensation that we try to do to make ourselves still, I'm trying to figure out how to say this the right way, but to make ourselves still be able to fit in those spaces, you know? Yeah. And that was something that we didn't have to do with Dreamit in color. And that was probably the biggest difference, is that we could just truly just be who we were and let our hair down. And like I said, I was trying to get through this without shedding tears, but literally there were tears shed at this event just because of that feeling and that shared experience. There were people that didn't know that a community like this existed in the Salesforce ecosystem, that had been in the Salesforce ecosystem for years, you know? Yeah. So just being able to bring them in and say, hey, we're here, we support you, and you should still come to these other events as well, not just Screaming in Color.
Yes, man, that's a beautiful thing. That's really nice. One thing I ask a lot of people, when you go to these events, do you feel yourself as an extrovert or an introvert? How do you see yourself?
So, and I will say, before I got into Salesforce, I was a huge introvert. Like, I would never just approach people and talk to them, let alone be on a stage talking to people. But when you go to events like this, it kind of forces you to be an extrovert because, you know, you're there to learn, but you're also there to network. You're also there to get ideas, and you won't do that without talking to people. So you're going to go to a session and you're going to hear something that piques your interest that you want to know more about. And you're going to want to step outside and like ask those questions and really connect with people. So it'll bring the extrovertedness out of you if you are really an introvert.
Right. Getting back to your story a little bit, your transformation, if you will, was there ever a moment where you thought, this is not for me, or I'm not going to keep going? And what kept you going?
There were a lot of those moments. Probably famously, the moment when in my Trailblazer story, where I'm standing in the mirror about to cut my beard off so I can go be a bus driver. You know, people see the quick version of my story, and I'll let people know that it wasn't quick. You know, it was months after I got my certification that I actually got my first job. It was months for me trying to learn Salesforce itself. And there were plenty of times where I'm like, okay, I have a mortgage, I have a car note, I have all this, and I don't know if this is going to work. Like, this was completely me stepping out on faith that this was all going to pan out for me. But what kept me going is honestly the community. Staying engaged in the community, my support system, my mentors, they talked me down off several ledges. And even the people that I surrounded myself with. At Dreaming in Color, myself and a few of my friends did a session on finding your tribe, finding people that you can surround yourself with that will help you in those low moments. So one of our favorite phrases is iron sharpens iron. And there was a lot of iron sharpening I needed to be motivated to keep continuing forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And in consulting specifically, what's been the hardest thing to learn in consulting?
So in consulting, the hardest thing to learn, first of all, the hardest thing was letting go of something that you put your time and effort into. I think after my first project where I had to, like, my credentials didn't work anymore, I couldn't check in on the things that I built to make sure they were working, that was definitely hard. But secondly, probably the independence. While you are working on a project team, you still are largely independent, especially during the pandemic where we were all remote. So I'll be working with people that I had never met before. We could have been spread across multiple states and everything. And it's really up to you to get your work done. Not saying that you wouldn't get your work done regularly at somewhere that you were in industry, but you know, you had a boss that was aware of the work that you were doing, could do the check-ins to everything. Whereas in consulting, my boss is working for a totally different client. So he doesn't know what my day-to-day is. And so that's really up to me to manage. So that was definitely a shift. And lastly, filling out timesheets every week, because I haven't had to do that before.
That's really annoying, isn't it?
It really is. And I get that Sunday reminder that I haven't submitted my timesheet yet almost every week.
And expense reports, how are you with those?
Yes, and expense reports, just like, oh man, it's all this extra stuff you have to do.
Yes, that's like a second job.
Yeah. Right?
It's just timesheets and expenses. Yeah, I guess for me, one of the hardest things was just adjusting to clients. And we go into these projects thinking that there's a technical problem that needs to get solved or a solution, right? When a lot of times, the client is just nuts, right? Or like they don't need consultants, they need therapists, right? That will talk them into thinking sanely.
You didn't know consultants were therapists?
I guess we are partly therapists, right? But I was never trained as a psychotherapist. But there's been projects where it was misscoped and it was misaligned, and just because of the culture of the client, the project was successful. Mm-hmm. And then there's some clients where no matter what is scoped, the project is going to be a failure, right? Just because of the culture. So that basically my lesson is how much culture matters in the client, right? And being able to adjust your approach for that has been something. So is it my impression that you were at two different offices at Slalom? Did you start off in Chicago?
Yep, I did start off in Chicago.
I sound like a stalker. Like, I know everything.
And that's what I'm saying. People knowing other things about me is weird. But yeah, I did start in Chicago.
And from what I know of Slalom, and it sounds like a fantastic firm, but the offices are very different from each other. They're almost like independent entities. Have you found that? And how was it transferring from one Slalom office to the other?
Yeah, so all the Slalom offices do function independently. So I moved from the Chicago team, and I'm in the Atlanta area, but I actually joined Slalom's global team. While I am in Atlanta, I'm not tied to the actual Atlanta office, and my projects can be anywhere in the country. But it was a really smooth transition. Like, I just really had to talk to the leadership team in Atlanta, make a decision on if I wanted to join the Atlanta team or the global team. Once making that decision, do a couple meet and greets, and it was really as simple as them changing some things in Workday. It was no heavy lift. I didn't have to re-interview for my job or anything like that.
Yeah, that's whoever's running Slalom, I think they're doing a good job. I think it's really a growing firm, and it's exciting. I also know that you're a homeowner. What have you learned from that journey?
Oh, I can give you the most recent thing. So do-it-yourself projects never go as you think they are going to go, no matter how much you think you know what you're doing. I was scrolling through Amazon for Prime Day a couple weeks ago, and I saw they had kitchen sinks on sale, and I knew I wanted a kitchen sink. So I bought a new kitchen sink, a new faucet, and a new garbage disposal. And I said that I was going to install this thing myself. I started last week, 5 trips to Lowe's in one day. And it still didn't go according to plan. Had a plumber come out yesterday to fix all the things that I messed up. Cost me $850. So I saved absolutely no money trying to do this by myself. So yeah, homeownership tip, just call a professional. Don't think you can do everything.
Oh, Aaron, I could have there's a fine line between brave and crazy. You might have crossed that when it comes to plumbing.
Yeah, it can't be that hard. It really can't be. It was.
Yeah, you can only be good at so many things. And I think they intentionally make it a little too hard so they keep plumbers employed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you do when you're not working?
Oh, man, when I'm not working and not breaking things in my house, I'm reading, hanging out with my friends that I have here in Atlanta, getting to know Atlanta because I've only been here. Well, I've almost been here for 2 years, but still getting to know this relatively new city that I'm in and traveling whenever I can.
Yeah. Any place exciting?
The most exciting place I've been to this year is Greece. I spent a week and a half in Greece earlier this year. Amazing experience.
Wow. That is amazing. So a lot of people watch this. I wouldn't say a lot of people. Some people watch this podcast or listen to it and want to get into consulting. What's your advice, Aaron, for them?
My advice is level up on your certifications and fill out applications. That's really it. That's really it. I got into consulting with less than a year of Salesforce experience, and I've been in it for almost 3 years. So if you think you're not ready, if you think that you won't be able to get the job, then you won't get the job. But if you put yourself out there, the worst thing that they can say is no. Or the worst thing they can say, well, not even no, but here's what you need to do to get into a place where you can. And network as well. There are a lot of us that work for consulting firms that will be happy to refer you. So absolutely. Use your network.
Beautiful. Well, Aaron, it was awesome speaking to you, with you. You're a very inspiring guy. And it's not just Salesforce marketing is off the charts, right? They're incredible. So when they package someone like you and put you on the internet, you have to be a little skeptical, but you are the real thing. And it's there's a reason why people know you, right? Because everyone wants to take that journey. Everyone's journey looks a little different, but I really appreciate you, and I appreciate everything you've done, and I'm going to be cheering you on, and I hope we get to meet together sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, John.
Thank you, Aaron. Take care.
You the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye.